I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Rocky Miller. Rocky is the organizer of Feast in the East and heads up the East Waco Empowerment Project. We talk about Rocky's time in the military and how individuals in Waco can make their communities a more fair and equitable place. But first, it's the Small Business Spotlight, presented by American Bank. If you walked into Black Oak Art without your glasses on, you might mistake it for Santa's workshop. Dozens of scurrying employees pull yards of bubble wrap and spray thousands of packing peanuts, making sure that clients' mugs, bowls, and plates arrive safely before the holiday. Katie Beeman leads the fulfillment team at Black Oak. It admits that this is a particularly crazy time in the warehouse.
Because we also do custom dishware. So some customers, they want their bowls by Thanksgiving or by Christmas. It makes a lot of sense, so I try to work hard to get their stuff out.
All this activity, local artists gainfully employed for 40-hour weeks, customers eagerly awaiting that perfect place setting, well, it almost didn't happen.
My name is Jonathan Martin, and I own Black Oak Art, which is a pottery business, a wholesale pottery business. We also have a retail shop downtown that my wife and I run called Gather.
In 2008, Jonathan and Sarah had just moved back to Waco and were living on Colcord Avenue with their one-year-old son. Jonathan was looking for a creative outlet and loved working with clay, but it was definitely more hobby than business.
Black Oak was after schools and weekends, working in the garage making pots.
Eventually, his wife grew frustrated with a garage full of massive earthenware, so Jonathan shifted to making a smaller item that ultimately brought his breakthrough, mugs. He first sold them to Jill Mashburn, then owner of Common Grounds, and she bought a run with the CG logo emblazoned on the side.
That was kind of the first real foothold into, and even for me, the ability to say, oh, there's a business in here. There's something that people want. There's something I'm making that people want.
Jonathan was selling about 20 mugs every week to Common Grounds. Soon after, he got a call from Joanna Gaines, asking if he'd make mugs for gift baskets that she and her husband would put in their flipped houses. Jonathan fired up the kiln and delivered the goods, but didn't get a reorder. In fact, he didn't hear a peep from Joanna until about 5 years later, when she mentioned to his wife that they'd inked a TV deal, were reopening their shop on Bosque, and wanted to carry Black Oak products. The problem? Its discouraged and drained owner had all but shuttered the business.
Yeah, that's kind of a long story, but I actually hadn't been making mugs. I'd gotten tired. We had three kids by then. And what was my hobby had kind of turned into a really low-paying job because I didn't know much about business, so I wasn't charging much.
Jonathan adjusted his pricing and sent the first 50 mugs to Joanna. She loved the product so much that 50 a month turned into 50 a week, which turned into 100 a week, which turned into 250 a week. And then the Magnolia silos opened.
And they said, hey, we're going to open these silos and we're probably going to need closer to like 1,000 a week. Yeah, so it's been kind of a crazy ride, but whatever it is now, like I said, I can't keep track. It's 5-6 years later, and we're still selling pots.
Currently, Black Oak Art sells about 1,200 mugs a week to Magnolia, in addition to pitchers, vases, and wall pockets that are then sold by the company. That working relationship has largely turned Black Oak into a production studio, about which Jonathan has no qualms. But he did notice some of his employees, who were artists in their own right, weren't challenged creatively by simply fulfilling purchase orders for Magnolia.
What we came up with is this idea of kind of gathering those artists together and really the idea of encouraging them to become better artists in themselves. And we call it the Artist Guild. And what the guild does is they handle those commissions.
Back in the warehouse, Katie Beeman is a proud member of the Black Oak Guild. She started her career in painting and only began working with clay about 5 years ago. The structure of the guild allows her to share collaboratively and grow alongside her fellow artists and coworkers.
And I know like there's some people who work purely on the front end, so they assemble. They never get to glaze their pieces, so I've had the opportunity to show people how to glaze pieces, which is kind of hilarious because I don't know how to throw anything, but I know how to finish a piece and make it look good and ready for a kiln firing.
Whether they're making a one-of-a-kind piece or the same mug over and over, the artists under Jonathan Martin's tutelage are learning the rigors of the creative life.
Here they spend all day, honing their skills. We have some of the best potters around in here now, just because they've exponentially increased the amount of time that they've had in the studio since they were in college.
The Small Business Spotlight is presented by American Bank, with three locations in town, including an expanded branch at Franklin and 4th. The commercial real estate expert here on Downtown Depot is Greg Gleim. Welcome again to the program.
Well, it's good to be here again.
I think it's instructive to look back and see what the last year brought so we can anticipate the wonderful things that are going to be happening in 2020. I know there's so much activity that we've covered here on your segment, what's happening here, and especially with the spotlight that Magnolia has on the downtown. We do a pretty faithful job of keeping listeners informed with that, but I want to expand a little bit and talk about some of the developments that have happened in 2019 outside of the downtown core. One of the big areas has been this development at Legends Crossing and the new road and I-35 area.
Yeah, it's probably kind of tough to capture everything in 2019 in the commercial real estate industry in Waco. But Legends Crossing, you know, we saw the walk-ons come in, a couple new hotels. Hopdoddy is still working on coming into that development there. So that's shaped out nicely, beautiful development, and a lot of national tenants that have moved in there. And then you got just north of there on I-35 with the Topgolf and Cinemark announcement going just north of Central Texas Marketplace. So that's a development that we'll see take shape in 2020. But that was a big announcement this year. We've got obviously a lot of stuff, as you touched on, coming downtown, a lot of new developments that have came and anticipated for 2020 downtown.
And in 2020 is when we're really going to start to see some retail and more office development in Woodway.
Yeah, that's right. The 84 corridor, you know, 2019, two of the bigger shopping centers out there, one of them being West Rock, where George's is, it sold. And there was another large shopping center that sold out the 84 corridor. And now we have the Outlook at Bosque Ridge. That's going right there at Ritchie Road in 84, 70,000 foot development. That's under construction right now, and it's filling up nicely. So I think we'll continue to see the growth out the 84 corridor. And I think we'll see some really good concepts in that new development coming.
The industrial sector in Waco is one that we don't talk about often on this show, but then you look at the stats and realize, okay, it's 95% occupied. Companies are moving here to Waco and want space and can't find it. What happened in this industrial space that it's filled up so quickly?
Yeah, it's just kind of the sleeping giant in town. Nobody hears about it. It's all kind of done under the radar, and we did a lot of industrial deals this year. We filled up a lot of space, and it's been filled up for years, but I'll tell you, I just consistently get, and this is just a testament to the geography of Waco, we are central to the state of Texas, and we're consistently getting calls for companies coming, moving here for logistical reasons or geographical reasons and why they want to be in Waco. And fortunately, that fills up industrial space, and we don't have much industrial space now. In 2020, I think there's a number of spec projects that are in the pipeline that will start getting announced in the next quarter. And those will be exciting new developments for us in the industrial world to start filling those buildings up as well.
And what happened in 2019 in the office sector?
Yeah, I think, you know, office has always been slow in Waco. I think you talk to the guys that have been here for decades, and they'll say, you know, office has just always kind of lagged along. And this year, I think most impactful in 2019 was that federal patent judge moving or coming to Waco. That's filled up, I would guess, 20 to 25,000 feet already.
And is that in the downtown area?
That's in the downtown area, yeah, which is a big shot in the arm to downtown. I mean, I'm a big proponent of moving people downtown to get daytime population down there and people working. And so 25,000 feet of office space filling up directly as a result of that patent judge was really crucial to downtown Waco. I think we'll continue to see that. I think even out the 84 corridor and Valley Mills Drive, we had a lot of movement in the office sector. You've got the Bank of America project downtown that's coming. I think that's three stories, 60,000 feet. I've had a couple clients tour that. We've got office space coming online above the new Fabled Bookshop downtown. We've got office space being built out the 84 corridor. So I think we'll continue to see that trend in 2020.
Industrial, office, and retail all hummed through 2019. We can expect to see more of this in 2020. If you had to say the one project that you're really excited about personally for 2020, what would that be?
You know, there's a lot. I guess I would first say all the things that I'm working on, but I'll tell you, I'm really excited to see the Cinemark and Topgolf project come to fruition. I think that's an excellent product, excellent concepts that are coming to Waco, and I think that puts us on the map. I'm really excited where Waco's at right now, and I think that's a good feather in the cap to have here in Waco.
Commercial expert Greg Gleim tells us what's happening in Waco every month here on Downtown Depot. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a great rest of your year.
Okay, thanks, Austin.
I'm now joined in studio by Rocky Miller. Rocky is the organizer of Feast in the East. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
All right, first off, I want to thank you, Austin, for having me on your show and helping me getting the word out about an event that's very important to me.
Well, I want people to hear all about Feast in the East, but first I want them to understand you a little bit, know more of your heart. So what's your history in Waco?
Well, I'm a Waco native. I was born and raised here. I've lived here also most of my life other than the time I served in the military. I got my education here at TSTC, and I've worked and lived in community for the past 25 years.
And do you live in East Waco?
No, I don't live in East Waco. I live in the China Spring area, but I have family that live in East Waco, and that's where my roots are.
And where'd you go to high school?
Waco High.
All right. And what took you to the military?
Well, I was in college at the time, and to be honest with you, a couple of my friends invited me to a dinner they were having with an Army recruiter. And the recruiter said, well, he can tag along, but if he wants to eat, he needs to take the ASFAB. And I took the ASFAB, and I did well on it. And because of there were some incentives that were available because of the score I made, I took that opportunity and never looked back. It was an amazing experience to serve my country.
I've been honored to have a number of veterans on this show, and I love asking them what they learned in service that they found most applicable to their civilian life afterwards. What would you say that was for you?
Other than the self-discipline, I think the importance of teamwork and everybody having a role in whatever you're trying to do. One of the things in the military, we kind of break down every task into the smallest increments and give it to one person. That way, that's why we can be so efficient and be so timely in the way that we do things, because there's not a lot of task duplication. And so that's what I've learned in the military, is that every detail needs to be broken down and assigned to someone, and so that they can be accountable for that individual task.
I love looking at it that way, because especially in the military, you've got these projects that are so big, and you also need to have buy-in from every single person in order to make it successful. And I think that same idea applies to community development and to real estate development, this idea of positive increments. Maybe we don't have $1 million to finish out the whole block, but if we can plant the petunias first, then that's a signal to the community that we do care and we are participating in it. And hey, you can participate too.
Exactly. I think everybody in a community, everybody has a role in building and working toward whatever the goal is at that particular time in the community. And so but it needs to be identified by someone either in charge or someone who's organizing. And a lot of times we have big initiatives that we send people on, but we don't give them the detail. You know, you can't build the roof. When you're building a house, you can't build the roof first. You have to put the wall, you have to put the foundation down, then build the walls, and then put the roof on top. And so you have to break it down in that fashion in order for the whatever you're building to be sustainable and last over time.
Is that idea part of this East Waco Empowerment Project, empowering people to see their world and their life in that way?
Absolutely. With the Feast in the East, we offer a community outreach project where we provide a community meal and also give away hats, gloves, and coats. But East Waco Empowerment Project is much bigger than that, in that we want to also enable people to give them a hand up, meaning that we want to reach them and pull them up out of whatever their circumstances are, if that's their desire. And Keisha and I have partnered with City Center, and we are the coordinators of a program called WEBO, Workshop and Business Opportunity, in which we go through the process of educating prospective entrepreneurs through real life experiences. From other entrepreneurs who are actually in business it's a great opportunity for us. And that's the kind of programs we want to work with. Not only the ones that do community outreach and give out hats, gloves, and coats, but we also want to give opportunity and provide education for people and let them know what's possible that they can do for themselves, that they're able to do for themselves.
Weebo is an awesome platform, entrepreneurial modules that people can take the class and learn and Absolutely. Build their business plan. Can you share a success story from the Weebo program?
Well, this is our first cohort that we've worked with. But what I can share with you is that you come in with someone who's been operating a business, and they've been doing it with their own knowledge that they've, you know, with their own circle of knowledge. And what we've done, we went in and we expanded their knowledge. And now when you take someone who didn't have business cards and didn't have a business plan, and all of the graduates, by the time we finish, they'll have a business plan. They've developed a business plan, a graduate. They'll know cash flow analysis. They'll know how to properly price their products. All of the graduates are learning this on the fly, and it's amazing to see their growth between where it started 16 weeks ago and what it will be when they graduate within the next week. It's amazing.
And you are an entrepreneur yourself.
Absolutely.
Prosperity Tax Service and Prosperity Travel Service. You're able to take real-life examples from your businesses, and I'm sure that's helpful for these students to learn.
Absolutely. And again, we've had a number of entrepreneurs come in and talk to the class and give and go through these modules with the students and work on case studies. So there's a lot of practical information that is given to the students that they can apply in their business. Now, again, you have to always understand that the modules are generic in the way that they're developed, but whether it's an ice cream shop or a tax service or a travel business, they get to use whatever principles in that particular modules for their individual business, and we walk them through how it applies. So again, it's an amazing experience when you talk about where they were 16 weeks ago and understanding all the intricacies of business now that they're about to graduate. It's a great experience for me.
I noticed when you were talking that you said we want to give people a hand up.
Absolutely.
Rather than the handout. Can you explain the distinction between those two things? And are they both important and necessary? Or are these organizations that are giving handouts to people, are they doing it wrong?
Well, I believe that a handout is a very important part of community building, meaning that you have to meet people where they are. It's hard to talk to someone about entrepreneurship when they're hungry or when they need a meal or when they don't have a jacket or whatever. They just don't have the focus to deal with the details that is entrepreneurship. So you provide them with the base of their needs, the basic needs, and then you can talk to them about religion and business and community building, all those other things. So I think a handout is very important. A hand up is important, so that they can then self-determine where they want to, the place they want to have in life. You know, not everybody wants to be a millionaire or a billionaire. Some people just want a job and go to work every day, but they need a certain skill level in order to do so. And maybe it's being comfortable in interviews. Maybe it's being able to put together a resume. Maybe it's just knowing how to dress and how to appear on an interview. And all of those things are important for somebody. It's important that those things that give people an opportunity to determine their own outcomes are also part of the handout process as well. And that's what I call a hand up, meaning that it's a hand up, but it's really teaching them and giving them skills that they can use to determine their own outcome.
You're hearing from Rocky Miller, organizer of Feast in the East. What are the current needs of Feast in the East? How can listeners assist you guys? When is the event going to be happening and where?
I'm so glad you asked that question. The event is December 20th, and at the Multipurpose Center on Paul Quinn campus. Right now, we're in the fundraising process, and we're in the process of getting the hats, gloves, and coats that we'll be giving away. So you can always go to our website, which is feastintheeastwaco.org. And you'll see a donate button as well as a volunteer button. So you can donate. It'll take you to our GoFundMe page where you can make a donation if you choose, or if you would like to volunteer as well. We're going to feed about 1,200 people, so we need as much help as we can. So you can also click volunteer and go ahead and go through our volunteer sign up. And we have 3 drop-off locations for new hats, gloves, and coats. I say new because we don't have the means to cleanse or sanitize any clothing items. We don't have a laundry or anything at our disposal. So to ensure that for safety reasons, we prefer a new item that you donate so that we can pass that on to someone who is in need.
Well, that's such an admirable use of your time and of all our listeners' resources and time. So please do consider donating your time or money or hats, coats, and gloves. And I'll be sure to post that on our Waco Business News social media as well. Rocky, the Waco that we're living in 2019, nearly 2020, is very different in a lot of ways from the Waco in which you grew up.
Sure.
And even though you live in China Spring, I know you're very involved with the city center of Waco. How would you say that your life has improved or changed with this new spotlight that's on Waco? Do you see that the spotlight is so focused on Magnolia and on downtown, and we kind of feel like we're getting left behind? Or do you feel like you are able to participate in the growth that's happening at Waco, and are you excited for its future?
Well, first off, I want to say that I'm really excited about the growth that's happening in our community. You know, there are a lot of changes that are happening, and I think for the most part, it's change is good in this case, because this change is coming with growth and opportunity. And anytime that you have growth and opportunity, I think it's a time where we all, as business people and community members, we are in a space where we can seize the moment and create the community that we want for ourselves. Meaning that as, you know, if you notice all over Waco, there are business opportunities happening. And if you are an entrepreneur, this is a great time with all of the influx of tourism that is coming to start a business. And you don't have to start a huge business. Maybe you go with a food truck or a stand or something like that to benefit from what's happening to our community. I think a lot of people see the big projects that are happening and may feel left out. But for every big project that happens, there is something that can be generated for someone on a smaller scale. When there are big construction projects coming up, there's a small food truck that can benefit from those construction workers that will be building those projects. I tend to be a glass half full guy, meaning that when I see a glass and it's half full, not half empty. So I look for the opportunity to grow and prosper in every situation. And unfortunately, there are people who are making decisions that are not concerned with the little guy or small business or the mom and pop. And we have to do what we need to do as a collective to make those people aware of our concerns. If this is happening in a way that's not equitable, then we speak up and speak out about it. If it's happening in a way that's unfair in some way, then we speak up and speak out about it. But even with that, to sit back and just complain and be a deterrent to the progress and that's happening, I don't think helps our community at all. I think we all need to be part of the solution of making Waco the wonderful community that we all want it to be.
What would you say to someone listening to this program that wants things to be equitable, that wants things to be fair, but they're not the mayor, they're not a city council person, they don't feel like they have power to bring that change about? How can people personally in their own lives create more equality?
In their own lives, personally, what they can do is start by looking in the mirror and making sure that their moral compass is due north and making sure that they have a value system that allows them to treat everyone fairly and everyone has the same value. Okay, that's kind of hard because that's against what we've taught. We've been taught as a community and as a people. You know, we've been taught that we go out and we achieve education, earn more money, get a bigger house, drive a better car, so that we can be looked at as more prominent or more valuable as someone who doesn't have much. I know people don't look at it in that way, but there are a lot of circumstances where the only reason why we're acquiring wealth is so that we can benefit ourselves and our family. And then at the end of the day, I think we should always do things that not only benefit ourselves, but also have a means to give back to our community. So when you're getting that big house and that big car and that great education, also make provision to do something for someone else who may not have that same opportunity. That's what you can do individually. But more of a civic standpoint is, one, you must register to vote. All right? Two, you must know who's the elected official that's representing your local community, from your city council member to your state representative to your state senator to your U.S. congressman, so on and so forth. You have to know who those people are. And when you talk about policy from a standpoint, me and you can sit here and debate policy all day long. But if the one of us that can make an impression on Bill Flores about where to vote and what to vote on, that's the guy that's gonna make a difference. So we have to make an impact on Bill Flores, Andrea Bearfield, Doc Anderson, Mr. Birdwell, all those guys. Those are the guys we have to make an impression on. I mean, you could argue back and forth all day long about ideas. But unless we're willing to go and engage those guys, then we're just spinning our wheels. And so that's what we have to do as a community. We have to go out and not only and educate ourselves on what policies are being instituted in our community. And I think that is one of the things that we're, as a community, that we're suffering on, is there's a lack of education about what's actually happening with the policies in our community.
I think you're getting to the heart of it right here, Rocky, when really it boils down to communication. And it boils down to having a conversation with your city council person or, people in Waco who want there to be equity. It's up to them to sign up for Feast in the East and get to understand what it's like to go through a winter in Waco without a coat. I think that just gives us all more empathy, and that's what's going to allow our community to build. When I had Councilwoman Bartfield on here a few months ago, we were talking about this development in East Waco, and she said, we have to make sure what happens along this Elm Avenue corridor in East Waco happens with East Waco and not to East Waco. And I think it's something that all Wacoans need to remember, whether it's development or whether it's the business that you're supporting for Christmas. Make sure that it's happening with the community and not just to it.
Absolutely. I completely agree, and I couldn't say it any better. Councilman Andrea Bearfield is in my opinion, a tremendous public leader, and she's somebody that's always looking in the best interest of her constituents. And so me and her tend to see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and I definitely support her comment as far as let's make sure it does not happen to East Waco.
Rocky Miller is the organizer of Feast in the East. We will share all the information about how you can get involved with this wonderful program happening later in December. Rocky, thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Rocky Miller, Black Oak Art, American Bank, Greg Gleim, and you for tuning in to another episode of Downtown Depot here on KWBU. This is our final episode of 2019, but I encourage you, find us on the podcast app or the NPR One app or, hey, the KWBU app, and listen to old episodes so you can track the tremendous change that we're all experiencing here in Waco. Until 2020, I'm your host, Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.